Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. Welcome to each one present, especially the visitors in our midst. We hope that you can worship God with us in this first Sunday of a new year. The sermon that I have to share this morning is one that I have need of very much, and as I preach the sermon, I realize how much God has spoken to me in the study of this sermon. Not a new subject. We live in a very modern world, in a world with many blessings, and yet I think many of us find ourselves in the midst of struggles. Maybe you're here this morning with a struggling friendship, someone who you thought was your friend. And that friendship seems to be deteriorating. If that's the case, this message is for you. Maybe you're here this morning with a struggling marriage, and you wonder how to put it all back together. If so, this message is for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you look back at the church fellowship of the past or the present one, and you struggle. Maybe there's other organizations that you're involved in that are in the midst of struggle, and you're not quite sure how to go forward. You can open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I wanted to look first of all at a verse in 1 Corinthians 12 before chapter 13, but I didn't write the verse down. There's a verse in chapter 12 somewhere that talks about God having a more perfect way. I don't know if anyone sees that verse or not. Yes, thank you. The last verse. I was thinking it wasn't right at the end, but it is. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 29, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. In chapter 12, he explains church life in many ways. Talks about things that they're familiar with. But he says, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I think it's synonymous to what John says in 1 John when he says, a new commandment I give unto you. I have something new to give to you. It was new because it was not the Old Testament way. It was new because of Jesus and his sacrifice for mankind. Let's read chapter 13. I believe this chapter contains a new and more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Beginning in verse 4 and going down through verse 7, we have one long sentence, which to me is a biblical definition of charity. Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. That is my title this morning, the greatest of these is charity. A dictionary definition of charity would say that it is a synonym to love. And I believe in this whole sermon we could interchange those two words, charity and love, as we know them, and they would interchange well. And I will do that as we go through the sermon, interchange those two words. Charity means love, kindness, affection, tenderness. It means that disposition of the heart which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow men and to do them good. Charity means liberality to the poor. After thinking about the definition of love and charity, we think about human love. We also think about the fact of God's love, which helps us to understand love. We could ask the question, is love a feeling? Or is it a way of life? If you endeavor to teach a child love or charity, you sit down with them and you tell them what it is, especially a young child, it will not mean much to them. But if you show them love, day in and day out. Even a very small child that's resting upon your knees, if you show him love, if you nurture him day after day, if you entertain his life day after day, he learns firsthand what love is. He learns it quicker with actions than he or she can learn it with words. I believe it is like that for us as adults as well. Love and charity are things that we can read over, define, we can conclude, and we can endeavor to improve them in our life. But if you and I, have, as adults, have never felt love from someone else, then we don't know how to give it to someone else. It's when it has been given to us that we can really understand what it is and we can return it to someone else. What does it mean to love someone? Certainly, feelings are involved in charity and love. But it's much more than feelings. Taking the biblical definition here, point number one. Is charity suffereth long? And I wrote long there again. Charity suffereth long, long. And then I took an arrow and I drew a long arrow across my paper. Adam Clark said that it means that a person has a long mind. Charity suffereth, suffers long, long, not a long time, just long. Trials bring suffering in our life. Adverse situations bring suffering in our life. Persecutions bring suffering. But the charity that suffereth long, that God gives, that we can grasp hold of, those trials, those adverse situations, those persecutions cannot reach the depth of that heart of charity. Can't reach it. Charity can do this because of the firm belief in God and the hereafter. If you don't believe in God and the hereafter, then you can't have the love of God in your heart. The love of God sees beyond the present circumstances, the present trials, and leaves it with God. Point number two, charity is kind. Pretty simple, doesn't need a lot of explanation. Charity is kind, it is tender, it is compassionate. It is obliging to others, and it never creates trouble. Charity is kind. He moves on with his definition, as we do sometimes, with saying what charity is not. The next number of points all have no or not in them. Think about that. Sometimes it helps us to understand what it is when we know what it is not. Point number three, charity envieth not. Charity envieth not. Romans 12 is a verse that I think illustrates this point very well. Romans 12 and verse 10. be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In honor preferring one another. Charity envieth not. It is not grieved because others have more than I have. Point number four, charity vaunteth not itself. Charity does not set itself forward. Charity does not desire to be noticed and applauded. Charity does not say, "See what I have done?" But rather, "Look what God has done." Point number five, charity is not puffed up. We could say charity is the opposite of pride. Charity is not inflated with a sense of my independence, my importance. Charity knows that I don't have anything that I have not received. Charity knows that. If my heart is full of the love of God, it will also be full of humility. Point number six, charity doth not behave itself unseemly. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Never acts out of its place or character. Charity has good manners. Charity is never rude and unkind. Charity does not behave itself unseemly. Applies to thousands of situations of life. There are many things that we face that charity directs us in knowing how to respond and what to do. Because charity teaches us to behave wisely. Point number seven, charity seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. Charity does not live its life for itself, but rather lives for others. Adam Clark said, "Love is never satisfied, but in the welfare, comfort, and salvation of all." You get that? Love is never satisfied, but in the welfare, comfort, and salvation of all. That's what charity wants. It wants everyone to be comfortable. It wants everyone to have plenty of food and clothing. It wants everyone to know the salvation plan of Jesus Christ and experience the new birth. That's what it wants. It wants all of that. And it's never satisfied until everyone has it. Charity seeketh not her own. Testimony of a volunteer working on relief ministry in Hurricane Helene. The volunteer came upon a homeowner who was crying, and he asked, "Why are you crying?" Her answer was, "I'm not crying because I lost everything. I'm crying because love just showed up." That's beautiful. She saw love showing up without any words. She saw it in actions. Charity seeketh not her own. Charity, love, seeks the blessing of another. Point number 8, charity is not easily provoked. I wish I could go back and read this phrase in the Greek, but I can't. I'm not a Greek reader. If you know anyone who is, that would be interesting to know. Bible commentators disagree quite strongly on the word easily. Many would say it was not there in the original. I'm taking it as it is in our English language this morning. Charity is not easily provoked. Perhaps it's the other way. But charity is not easily irritated. Charity is not easily angered. Point number 9. Charity thinketh no evil. I don't think the main focus of this phrase is the evils of the world about us. I think the main focus is, again, in relationships. In the relationships that are strained between me and another. In the relationships that are falling apart between me and someone else. Charity, when it's like that, thinketh no evil of the party that seems to be against me. Charity will never invent evil where there is none. Charity will not judge other people's motives without facts. And charity believes in other people and their goodness. Charity chooses to believe in them as long as possible. Point number 10. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. I think you could replace that word, or synonymous with that word iniquity, I think you could put falsehood there. Charity rejoiceth not in falsehood. And he brings the positive back here, the phrase right after that, but rejoiceth in the truth. So we're not entertained with falsehood and false stories and inaccurate information. We are seeking after truth. Along with that thought, I think the thought in the original would also be that charity does not rejoice when another man appears to be suffering for his past evil deeds. Charity never rejoices at justice upon another man. Charity is always merciful. That comes very close to us when we feel mistreated in life and we feel that others have done evil things against us. And we've put up with that for a long time. And then God brings vengeance on them, and we see that God is dealing with them. But charity's not happy about that. I'm going back to 1 Corinthians 13. I had gone to another verse, but coming back to our verses here where these points are all coming from, you see a change now from the negative to the positive. In verse 6, we have the last not and no. We now have four more points in verse 7. That are all three words each. But I think there's significant meaning here in these four. We're still defining charity. Point number 11, charity beareth all things. Charity beareth all things. Has the idea of to endure, to sustain, to conceal, to contain. Love conceals everything that should be concealed. Love betrays no secret. Love never makes the imperfections of another the subject of censor. Love is never anxious to talk about someone else who isn't present about their imperfections. Charity beareth all things. Point number 12, charity believeth all things. So you think about bearing all things. You think about containing things that you know about others that are secrets that should be kept. You think about bearing those things, and then you think about believeth all things. And again, I think he's especially thinking about relationships between people when he says this. Charity believeth all things. Charity is ever ready to believe the best about every person. You know, sometimes we have reason to think other than the best. And sometimes we have facts that help us to think other than the best. But charity believeth. Charity believes in other people. Point number 13. Charity hopeth all things. Hope. We could spend a long time talking about hope and what life is like without hope, and that's in focus here. But another thing that I think is in focus is this relationship thing again. You think back to charity beareth all things and believeth all things. And when he can't believe anymore, then he starts to hope. When the facts become so strong that I cannot believe what I want to believe about this person, and there's no place left for believing good of my brother, then love comes in with hope. Hope for the future, hope for repentance. Hope that God can fix it. Charity hopeth all things. Point number 14, charity endureth all things. Have you ever said, I quit? I give up? Charity won't. Charity and will endure all things for long. And God wants us to have His charity. He wants to give it to us. Thinking of the last 4 points again, charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, summarizing that, love always protects. Love is interested in protecting all the things of God. Love protects life, physical life. Love protects the reputation of another person. Love is always protecting. Love always endeavors to trust. And love always hopes for a better day and for the finger of God upon situations of life that seem to be adverse, and love always perseveres. It never gives up. Remember that. Love always protects, always endeavors to trust, always hopes, and always perseveres. So what does love look like? Perhaps the abstract idea of love is still unclear to some of the children. Think about it this way. Love has hands. Love has feet, just like you do. Love has eyes. And love has ears. It has all four. Loving hands help others. Loving feet see a need and hasten after it. They hasten to help someone. Loving eyes see misery in other people's eyes. Loving ears hear the sorrows of men. Are there struggling relationships in your life? In your marriage? Are you dating, looking forward to marriage, and wondering what love is? Read this passage again. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Think of that as your definition of charity. Your definition of love. I'm not going to turn to it, but in Psalm 91, in closing, you can read that this afternoon if you get a chance, Psalm 91, verses 1 to 16. Summarizing that, this is someone else's writing, but I thought it was a good summary of Psalm 91. But God is our refuge. No matter how many troubles or uncertainties surround us, the path ahead may seem long, scary, or overwhelming, but His love envelops us. He hears us, answers us, and stays with us now and forever into eternity. That's the God that created you. That's the God that brought you into existence the day of your birth. And He wants to fill you with charity. Shall we kneel for prayer?